Learn how to build your faith on God's Word and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time as you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
What to do when you are waiting for your breakthrough? What to do when you are waiting for your breakthrough? This is strategic and very timely because we are in the dying minutes of the year. And at this point, really, what most of us are doing is just waiting for the harvest to come in. Praise God. You've already put your seed on the ground. You've put your efforts on the ground. You've sent out those proposals. You're just waiting for a manifestation of the word that has gone over your life. And I declare that manifestation will come in the name of Jesus. So, but what do I do while I'm waiting? What do I do while I'm waiting for that breakthrough, waiting for that promotion, waiting for that manifestation, waiting for that answered prayer, waiting for that promise from God to come to reality? What do I do? Somehow, I've discovered in life that waiting is just a part of your life. You cannot remove waiting from life. As long as you are alive and you live in this world that we live in, you must master the art of waiting. Praise God. And you see, waiting is not a gift. It's not that God will give you. You need to train yourself to be able to wait. Waiting is very crucial. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 1, the Bible said, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And he said, let patience have a perfect work so that you can be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So patience actually builds us up. It is relevant for our walk in life and our walk with God. Patience is important. The ability to wait. And you are the one that will develop it. It's not a gift. It's not spiritually imparted. You cannot pray that God give me patience. Because he has already planted the fruit of the Spirit called patience inside you. It's up to you to cultivate that fruit and now learn to be patient. Because a lot of the things God is going to do in your life will require some patience. In fact, I've discovered that a lack of patience can even delay the thing further. Not even can. Most times, it delays the matter further. A lack of patience even delays issues more than normal. Patience is very critical. We must all learn how to wait. It's a vital part of our development as human beings and also our development in our spiritual lives. Patience is very important. You must learn. You are the one that will learn it. Let me tap your neighbor and say, you are the one that will learn it. No, you didn't tell him, but let me tap him and tell him, you are the one that will learn it. It's not spiritually imparted. You can't pray and God give you patience. No, you need to learn. You will learn. You will cultivate it. You will learn how to wait. Because sometimes the best things in life need to be waited for. God is already moving the thing in your direction. You must learn to wait. Those of you that drive a lot, has it ever happened to you that you were on a lane that seemed not moving, and the moment you turn to the next lane, the one you were on started moving? Has it happened to you before? Very crucial. That's how life is. Wait. Sometimes you are waiting. God is already working with the agreement and the arrangement you had, but while he sent the thing to you, you have relocated because you are in a hurry. You can't wait. Waiting is a virtue. In this kingdom is key. Let me tell you, one of the ways to know the character traits that are important, go and read Galatians 5:22. They mentioned all the fruits of the Spirit there. Listen, for God to give you those things as a fruit of the Spirit, they are all relevant. So he didn't just depend on your ability, he also gave it to you as a seed so that it will be easy for you to cultivate. Praise God. You know, when somebody gives you a seed, he has already helped you. If, for instance, now, if you ate, all this, what I'm going to say, it happens a lot when we're young. I don't know whether it happens now. When we're young, if you go to somebody's house, either in the village or even in town, and they give you coconut or they give you mango to eat, and it's very sweet, what's the next thing that will happen? Eh? Some people are too young. They don't understand what happened. When you go to somebody's house and they give you coconut or mango or orange, something that is very sweet, you will take the seed. When you take that seed, you go and plant it in your own house. Once you plant it in your own house, you are going to be getting that whole fruit anytime you want it. Do you understand? So, what God did is that all the virtues, all the character traits that are very important, he gave them to us as a seed. He's saying that, look, these things, they are too important to your success in life. I'm not just leaving it to you to go and get it. I've already laid the foundation by giving you the seed. What I need you to do now is to cultivate it to become a fruit. Do you get it? Inside your life. Let's see some of the fruits of the Spirit. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. It's very important. Love is not, they're not talking about romance, they're not talking about Valentine love here. Okay? Next one is what? Joy. Very important. Joy is, some people don't, I mean, joy is incredibly important. Do you know most of the illnesses that people get is traceable to depression, traceable to sadness? I mean, when you are depressed, you can contact any kind of disease. I mean, you can't even imagine. Just by being sad or being broken in your heart. So God said you need joy. You need a dose of joy to help you handle the stress of life. Praise God. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth what? Good like medicine. Joy is like a medicine. If you are joy, I mean, there are sometimes you, if you laugh very well, if you had headache before, you even remember you had a headache. Do you understand what I'm saying? Joy is like medicine. God said you need that one. He said you need love, you need joy. Next one is there. What's happening? DJ, you just mix your own. Come from another place. Oh yeah, come back to where you are. Thank God. The third one is what? Peace. Very important. Because in this life, if you want to be troubled and worried in this life, 24 hours, you have a reason to be worried. There's something to steal your peace. So God said, you know what? I've put the seed inside you. In the midst of all the turmoil, because sometimes the things that you worry about, whether you worry or you don't worry, those things will be there. And some of them, when it's time, they will go. So you're worrying about them. The Bible says you can't even add a cubit of height. You can't increase, you can't do change anything by your worry. So you need to get to the point where you are so peaceful. There are so many things going on, so many things that should make you worry. They say there's Boko Haram, there's a ASUU strike. You can actually lose your peace 24 hours, 7 days a week, the whole year. But God said, I've imparted you to peace into you. Be like Jesus. Even when the boat wanted to sink, he was so much at peace that he was sleeping in a boat that wanted to sink. His disciples had to wake up and say, Master, you don't care that we perish. He was so much at peace. Do you know that people that don't sleep in a moving car? There are people that cannot sleep on a plane. They have to fly with the pilot. They are flying with the pilot. Even though they can't see what, they're just flying with him by faith. They are driving with the driver. They are people like that. They are pressing brake. They are not at the back seat, though, but they said to press brake. No peace. God said you need peace. He gave you that one. The next one is long suffering. That's what we're talking about today. Patience. You need long suffering. The ability to bear something or to wait for something long. Then there's gentleness, there's goodness, there's faith, there's meekness, and there's temperance, self-control, that's what temperance means, and all that. So, all these things you are seeing here, go and study those things. They are all relevant to your development as a human being. They are all relevant to your happiness in this life. If you are going to have a great life, they are all important. Praise God. They are all important to your happiness and success in life. So, one of them there is long-suffering. In other words, you can call it patience, but it's a mature level of patience. What do I do when I'm waiting? All the things we're going to talk about, we're taking them from the life of Abraham. All right? All the things we're dealing with today, or on this series, talking about waiting, we're taking it from the life of Abraham. Why? Because, man, I don't know anybody in the Bible that waited as long as Abraham. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody, but I don't know the person right now. The only person I can think of when I think about waiting is this guy called Abraham. How many years did Abraham wait for a child? I can't hear you. How many years did Abraham wait for a child? Eh? We always say 25, but it's not 25. Abraham didn't wait 25 years. Abraham waited more than 25 years. He didn't marry at 75. It was at 75 that they told us that God told him about the child. But I don't think anybody needs God to tell them. He has been trusting God for a child from the day he got married. So, from whenever he got married, does anybody know how old Isaac was when he got married? Isaac was about 40 when he got married. Eh? Okay, so let's assume that Abraham too married around that age. Let's assume. I know Isaac married late because he got to a stage he had to find wife for him. So I know he was a lazy boy that married late. So I want to assume is Abraham married earlier than that. We can assume that. Because Isaac is stay out. So if Papa say, you know what, Isaac, if I leave you here, I know that promise of God that we have seed will not come to pass. Only you want to be the remaining seed we go get. So they will say, you don't worry, we'll go and bring wife for you. They want to bring wife for Isaac and married him. By force own. So I want to assume Abraham married at 30 or 35. So let's say 30. If Abraham married at 30, he got his child at 100 years old. He waited how many years? 70 years. When I meet her forever, I say, bros, me go. I greet you, bros. 70 years. Now you take wait for Bikin. And you know, run mad. 70 years. So we're going to learn how to wait from Abraham. Abi, I think that's the guy we should learn how to wait from. There was a guy, Reverend Sam Ademi was gisting us one time that, I think it was one of his messages, that somebody came to him and said, he's tired of waiting. He wants his blessing. That he has listened to the faith message. He has got the faith that, and Reverend Sam asked him, which faith are you talking about? Is it the faith of Abraham? He said, yes, the faith of Abraham. He said, Abraham waited 25, that time. He said, Abraham waited 25 years. How long have you waited? So what you are doing is not the faith of Abraham. You are looking for magic. If it's faith, like the faith of Abraham you are talking about, then waiting is a part of that faith. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, say, be followers of them who through faith and patience obtained the promise. DJ, can you show it? Hebrews chapter 6, I think. It said, be followers of them who through faith and patience. Because those two things go together. Many people think that because you are doing something by faith means it's magic. That's why many people have a faith failure. Because just they think it's magic. They think if you're walking by faith, it means magic. And that's why many people abort their faith mission in the middle. Because they are not seeing any signs physically, they think it's not working. So they abort the dream. There are many people here like that today. You've aborted your dream just because it didn't appear at the time you thought it would appear. But it's already working. But you aborted, you change your confession, you change your expectation because you didn't see results quickly. When you should have stayed in patience. You should have continued like Abraham, stayed consistent. Look at it, Hebrews 6:12. It said, that you be not lazy. Do you see that? Because the generation we are now, people are lazy. Laziness here doesn't really mean that you don't work. It means you can't wait. You just can't wait. You want it now. I want my breakthrough now. Then you will steal. And by the time you steal, you'd already spoiled your hands. Then it won't be a breakthrough anymore. He said, that ye be not slothful, but what? Followers of who? Of them who through what? Faith and what? Patience. Inherit or obtain the promise. They did it with faith and what? Patience. So, we're going to learn from the life of Abraham. He took him about 70 years from when he got married to when he got a child. 70 years. Abraham got his child at 100 years old. Sarah was about 90 years old. 70 years. I mean, what kind of waiting is that? So what can we learn from Abraham? What can we learn from Abraham? Number one, Abraham continued with other aspects of his life. Abraham continued with other aspects of his life. While you are waiting for that breakthrough in a particular area, you are waiting for that answered prayer, you are waiting for that manifestation, you are waiting for that promotion, you are waiting for whatever it is, that blessing, please continue your journey in other areas of your life. There are many people that while they are waiting for something, they suspend all their whole life. Until that thing comes, I will not move. Please continue developing other areas of your life. We saw in the life of Abraham that he continued walking with God. He continued developing his life, his journey, his purpose, his finances. Genesis 12, let's see it there. His finances, he continued. He didn't stop his life. There are many ladies I know trusting God for who to marry. You are single and you are still broke. You can't lack the two at the same time. Continue building your life. Because the interesting thing is that building your other areas of your life will even help you the day the breakthrough comes. You have been praying for your husband. Finally, the husband now come. He will now meet you single and broke. You are giving him too much work. He should at least meet you single and blessed. So that wedding can even be fast. But I will first meet you. After he has suffered to find you, then you now start finding money for wedding. Wedding will not take 3 years. Because he's finding money for wedding, now finding money for rent. Genesis chapter 12. Continue building other areas of your life. Because it will make the testimony sweeter when it comes. That you are even prepared in some other areas. Genesis chapter 12. In fact, let's even see, okay. Let's start from Genesis 11. See from verse 26. And Terah, that's Abram's father, lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran, and all that. And Haran begat Lot. 28. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of all that. Verse 29. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarah. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, blah, 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 blah. Verse 30. But Sarah was what? Barren. She had what? No child. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah's daughter-in-law, son and blah, blah, and they went forth with them from all unto the Chaldees and all that. Go to chapter 12 now, from verse 1. So I'm trying to show you that Abraham was already married and didn't have a child all this while before we got to chapter 12. Do you understand this now? So the situation has already started before God even appeared to him. He was already, his wife didn't have child. They knew that one before. Chapter 12. But Abraham kept building his spiritual life. Abraham kept building his spiritual life. And his purpose, his finances, his career. See, they said now, chapter 12 verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from what? Thy father's house. Unto a land I will show thee, so that I will make of thee what? A great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4 says what? What happened? Abraham departed. In verse 7, they said the Lord appeared to him again. He continued having a powerful spiritual relationship. God appeared to him and kept talking to him. He was building his spiritual life. See verse 10. Verse 10. He said, and there was a famine where? In the land. And Abraham went down. You see, there was financial trouble. But Abraham, he said, Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous. He kept building his finances. There was financial crisis. Abraham had to go and look for other ways to raise funds, to prosper financially. See chapter 13. God also appeared to him and told him what to do. Chapter 13, see chapter 13, verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that, and Lot, and all that, blah, 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 blah. Verse 2. And Abraham was what? I can't hear you. Chapter 13, verse 2. And Abraham was what? Very rich in what? In cattle and in what? In silver and what? And in gold. I mean, if your child takes this long to come, he shouldn't come and meet you in poverty. Are you here? Shouldn't come in poverty. You're a single man at 40, you have not married, the wife can't come. And you are still a prayer point at 40. You should be an answer prayer, not a prayer point. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? Build other areas of your life. Don't make what you are waiting for an excuse to stop your life. Abraham built his spiritual life. I've seen single girls looking for a husband. She's still not spiritual. You are still somebody that they will find and still be helping to grow spiritually. Now that you are single, you don't have anybody distracting you. You can fast and pray. Even when we stop on Friday, continue for 1 week. Build your spiritual. Yes. We that are married or in relationship, in courtship, in the night now, after service, we still have to chat for a few minutes or hours. Abi, those of you that are in relationship. You answer now. Those of you in relationship now. When you reach home now, this night, you will still chat. How are you there? How was service? Hi, love. I love you. I miss you today. How was? You will still do all those things. You that you are single, you, the Bible says if you are single, you seek to please the Lord. So when you get home this night, go and revise the note of the message. Read the Bible. You build your spiritual life. So that by the time the person meets you, a spiritual giant. I mean, you by the time he meets you and he tells you, these are the things I'm trusting God for, you'll be able to give him a word from the Lord. You say, brother, this is thus said the word of God. Concerning that contract, the Lord said, is my hand too short? You tell him Isaiah, it's Isaiah 48 or whatever. Is it, you know, hallelujah. You are already prepared for him. Amen. And you tell him, just give me 3 days. I'm going to seek the face of the Lord. He says, as the Lord liveth, by the time I come back in 3 days, I will give you a word from God about that contract. Hallelujah. You will be that confident because you hear God every time. But most of the single girls I know, all they are praying for now, a husband, they're not growing their spiritual life. By the time they meet the man, they can't, when the man say, you see, I would have loved to marry this year, but things are just somehow in business. He'll say, devil. Devil has come again. Build other aspects of your life. Build other aspects of your life. And praise God. Abraham was very rich. Not average. He wasn't just trying. He was very rich in silver, in gold, in cattle. Kai, single man. You are nobody's eating your money. Now only you have all your money. By the time you should meet that woman, you should be very rich. You should be very rich. Build your financial life. Build your financial capacity. Build your career. Now you are waiting to marry. It's not wise to do your masters now. Is it when the man appear now, you want to tell him to wait? You want to go and do masters? Now that there's nobody, further your education. Do your part-time studies now before he meets you. And his parents say he doesn't want to marry illiterate. That's what I'm saying. Prepare now that you are single. You have time to develop other areas of your life. It might be academic. It might be financial. It might be your career. It might be your spiritual life. Build it up while you are waiting. Are you here? Because every time God adds a blessing to your life, it's as if your time has reduced. Because that blessing will need maintenance. Do you understand? If they promote in the office, it's more work. You don't know? It's more work. Because you're supervising more people now. You're overseeing more things now. If you can't have time now to stabilize your spiritual life, is it when they promote you? That would be more difficult. When you are single now, you have more time. Once you marry, the people that are married here, you know when you get home after service, you're not going to sleep. Hope you are aware. Oh, single people don't know. Oh, married, when they finish service now and get home, the man will eat. I'll just leave it at that. I won't explain further. So if you think so you see, you have the time now. Because any blessing that's added to you, we need maintenance. If you now, after you now marry, you, as you get home, your husband will eat or your wife will eat or you do other things. By the time a stomach becomes big, children will come. That means you will maintain that man, maintain that child. Your time has what? Reduced. And you have not learned how to manage time. You have not learned how to cook. You know there's some people that can't cook more than, I mean, if they want to cook rice and stew, they will first on rice and sit down. Rice will done, then they will on stew and sit down. Even when they are on stew, they don't know they can be boiling this and boiling this and boiling this. So they will do one by one. You don't yet know how to manage many things and you want to marry. And you now mistakenly go and born twins. Now that you are single, develop other aspects of your life. Abraham was very rich. I never had Isaac as a child talk about school fees is not ready, this one, that one. Abraham was very rich. Since I don't have child, now let me use all my money. Let me grow financially. Amen. Like I said, I'm always happy. Anytime I remember that when my child, our first biological daughter came, I'm happy. Because if she had come some years earlier, she would have been born anyhow. Manage. I was broke, very broke. I'm sure I've seen the O for hospital now. My brother, I was broke. If I was owing you 5K that time, only God knew when I can pay you. Me, I don't know when I can pay you. Very broke, man. If the child had come, but the child was delayed, but at least I grew my finances. By the time the child came, pow. Are you listening? By the time the child came, Abraham was very rich in silver and in gold. So I flew the mother abroad, my first daughter, Hadassah, abroad. Go and school there while you're waiting for your mother to give birth. Flew her friend to wait on her abroad. When she gave birth, I flew her mother abroad. Her mother said she's lonely. I flew her father to follow, join the mother. Didn't even waste time. Very rich in silver and cattle and in gold. So when I flew the mother-in-law to go and help do a mugo, she said she's lonely. She doesn't want to leave her father there in Nigeria. I flew the father join. This is as lonely. I flew the sister-in-law join. Is any more? Any more body free? We fly them. That's what you're talking about. Praise God. Grow other aspects of your life. Don't let the delay be a problem. Don't let the delay make you suspend your whole life. Because that thing will still come. Just make sure you are prepared. Make sure you have built other aspects. So that by the time thing comes, you're already ready. Why not do your masters now? They are of you to be focused on man. They are all deceiving you and confusing you. Build your life. Because you know one day you're going to be the wife of a king. So develop yourself. Develop yourself. Instead of all this fasting and prayer for husband, just look for any other area of your life. Can you learn a new skill? Can you learn baking? Can you learn sewing? Is there something, is there a business you want to do something else? Don't let that thing you are waiting for be the focus. Because once it's the focus, you'll be easily depressed. You'll be easily distracted. You will be tempted to suspend your life while you are waiting. Those of you that fasted with us today, or you're going to fast tomorrow. You know, I see when you're fasting. If the worst thing you can do yourself when you're fasting is to be looking at time. That's the worst punishment you can give yourself. Because the moment you start looking at time, that slime will come start slow motion. See? Ah. See, good luck, say 1 go 2 o'clock. You can come back. Ah. You're not going to move. That time ain't moving. It will become a burden to you if you keep looking at time to wait to know when you will eat. No. Continue doing other things in the day. If you continue doing other things in the day, you even pass 6 o'clock and you won't have eaten and you won't notice. That's the trick about waiting. Don't wait and start looking at the thing you're waiting for. You'll be amazed how long rice takes to get done if you're looking at it. If you put rice, go to look and say, oh, you're done quick. Go finish you. It go kill you with waiting. Put it there, go. Before you come back, go don't burn. The moment you remove your eyes from something, it moves faster. Once you go there and sit down, waiting now seems longer. Single ladies, relax. Stop every day harassing God, the husband. Do other things. Forget about marriage for now. Do other things. Somebody sent me a chat. He said, Pastor, you tired of waiting. In fact, I just want to change my name. I just want to change my name, my surname. I said, why? Why? Because that's what happens. The more you focus on what you are waiting for, you will move from desire to desperation. That's what happens. If you keep focusing on what you are waiting for, you move from desire, which is good, to desperation, which is bad. When you enter desperation, you will not want just anyone. And you'll most likely go and get the wrong one. That's what happened to Abraham at a point, or Sarah at a point. She was too desperate. It was Sarah that did that one. She was too desperate. God, let us give back to Ishmael, anybody. It didn't work out. It didn't work out well. So continue other areas of your life. Praise God. Your husband shouldn't come after all this long wait. He now come and meet you. When now, after he find you, he'll now start finding money again for wedding. Start finding money for rent. Start finding money for the first car. What were you now doing since? Where you were waiting? Be doing something useful. Praise God. So continue other aspects of your life. Second thing, and I'll close with that. While you are waiting, learn to worship God. While you are waiting, learn to worship. Romans chapter 4. Everything is from the life of Abraham. We're learning how to wait from the champion waiter. Abraham was the greatest waiter in the scriptures. He got his first son at 100 years old. He's our bros. Let's learn how to wait from Abraham. Romans chapter 4. Are we there? I'm going to read chapter 4, 1 to 3, then I'll jump to where I'm going. It's a long reading. Everything's important, but I can't read everything. So, Romans chapter 4, are you there? From verse 1, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? What did he find? Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he had wherefore to glory, but not before God. Verse 3, for what said the scripture? Abraham did what? Believed God, and it was what? Counted unto him for righteousness. Let's jump now to verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth what? The dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See verse 18, talking about Abraham, who against hope, that means in a hopeless situation, he still believed in hope that he might become what? The father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith. Doing what? Giving glory to God. He was strong in faith and continued giving glory to God. That was what helped Abraham to wait. It's better to worship while you wait. It's better to worship while you wait. Like I said, the key issue here, don't focus on what you are waiting for. It will turn the desire to desperation. And desperation spoils everything. It will cause more problem than the problem you were trying to solve. Ask Esau. Esau was desiring food. From desire, he entered desperation. When he entered desperation, the problem he caused was now more than hunger. He said, I will give you my birthright. What is birthright? Somebody one died. Talk about birthright. But they say after he began to look for the birthright, he couldn't find it. He had caused a bigger problem. Many people do that to themselves because they will not learn how to remove their eyes from what they are waiting for. It's good. You know you are waiting, but don't focus on it. Don't focus on it. We have learned from experience that you even get anything faster when you relax, when you're at your place of rest. If you are too hustling, if you are too hustled up, if you are too anxious, God doesn't move in an atmosphere of anxiety. He doesn't. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, make your request known. He said, don't be anxious. God doesn't move in an atmosphere of anxiety. If you are too anxious, the likelihood that you will be slower. If you've ever been looking for, if you've ever been late for something, the more you rush, you know, the more you are what? Late. Have you discovered? If you can relax and do the thing, you will go move forward. Hey, I'm late, I'm late. You will hold your key like, hey, I'm late. Where's my key? Where's my key? Hey, Jesus. So you're holding your key. Has it happened to you before? Until somebody come and say, see your key. Calm down. Say, where my shirt? Oh, you're wearing it. Say, where my shirt? Hey, devil is a liar. The more you are anxious, you delay yourself more. Can you remove your eyes from what you are waiting for? And put your eyes on the one that is making it happen. The ever faithful God, the El Shaddai. That cannot lie. That cannot fail. Put your eyes on him. Once you put your eyes on him, the natural thing that will flow is worship. Because you can't challenge him. You can't shout at him. You will just magnify him. Amen? And worship helps you so that you won't say the wrong things. Many people, they were close to the hour of breakthrough, but because they didn't spend time worshiping, they started saying nonsense. This thing, is he ever going to come? This God said, can we trust this God? I don't even believe all these things again now. I don't even believe anything Jesus now again. Because there's no how you will continue talking and not talk rubbish. But if you worship, you can never worship amiss. Keep worshiping. If you even pray about something too much, you will start praying amiss. Ah, where? Oh God, where are you? Jabin, say you God, don't disappoint yourself. Ah. Because you are praying every day about the same thing and you start talking nonsense. You start talking nonsense. You have prayed last year. You are supposed to have believed. There's a way you now pray this year again, so that you have not, you're not even ready since that time. You are talking a fresh thing again today. Anytime that issue comes to your heart, either during the day or in your place of prayer, don't start praying over it again, all over, as if it was a deaf man you spoke to the first time. If it comes to your heart again in the place of prayer, thank God for it. Hello? It might be a very nagging issue. Lift your hands there and thank him for it. Worship him for it. You can't worship and worry at the same time. One must take over the other. You cannot worship and worry what? At the same time. So when you are walking on the streets and that thing just comes to your mind, just remember how good God is and just worship him. That's what Abraham did. They say he wasn't moved. He didn't stagger in unbelief. He was strong in faith. And he continued giving glory to God. He continued giving glory to God. He continued giving glory. We are not talking about just waiting and complaining. Many people are waiting and complaining. When you are waiting and worshiping, that one is done in faith. You can't do that without faith. You see, that is the proof. See, there are different kinds of waiting. You know? Some people are waiting, but they are waiting in doubt. All that waiting doesn't count. You can wait 100 years, it doesn't count. There is a waiting that you are waiting, but you know that this waiting is in faith. There's a difference, though. Hello? Oh, there's a difference. I know there are many people that are trusting God for something. You're waiting for something. You can see in their talk. They are waiting because they don't have a choice to wait, but in their mannerism, in their behavior, you will know that they are wasting, not waiting. Some is wasting, just complaining, just murmuring, just looking for any cheap way to do it, any hook and crook way. That's wasting. That's not waiting. When you are genuinely waiting, you know that the issue is already settled. So you are just thanking God. You know the thing is already on its way to you. Are you here? So your attitude has changed. You are not in panic mode again. You are not in panic mode. You are so sure that you can never be poor. You are still trekking now, but there's so much joy in that trek because you are remembering that, in a short time, I won't even know what it's like to trek again. Hey, you will enter bus and be looking around the bus. Hey, conductor, you greet me. How are you? Why? Because you're saying a time will come. I will not even know what a conductor looks like. Do you know when last I saw a bus before, inside a bus? Do you know the last time? Or inside a bike, on top of it. The only bike I enter is my power bike. I can't remember the last time I entered Okada. It has been so long. You don't understand? One day, I don't know, somebody told me how much he paid from first act to my two. I said, they charge that much for a bus. How much is first act to my two now? In bus. 70 naira. When I was entering, it was 5 naira. And 10 naira, I'm telling you, last time I entered. So a time will come, So in your condition now, maybe you are still a tenant. Greet your landlord well. Because a short time from now, you won't know what it's like to be paying rent to somebody. Oh, somebody doesn't know what I'm saying. So that is the attitude in faith. So you are not allowing your present circumstance depress you. You understand that this is just a phase. This is even the last phase. A time will come, you won't have the privilege of entering Molua again, your privilege of entering bus again, or privilege of talking to a conductor again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, are you listening to what I'm saying? So there's a difference between wasting and waiting. There's a difference. My sister, you're sleeping alone in your bed now. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. If you're a lady, for instance, for me, there are 3 people, sometimes 6 people sleeping on our bed. Kenneth Hagin is on one side. Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland. In one very big book, they are on one side. Then different books. And my biro and jotter are always with me. They know in my house, I always get angry when I can't find my biro. I say, who took my biro? Who took my biro? One thing has come, I need to write it. So book, biro, paper, one side. Then me, second side. Then Hadassah, one side. So you see, the bed now is full. But at the time, it was only me on that whole bed.
that time can never come again. So you're sleeping alone and enjoy. You can throw your clothes anywhere. When you get married, you can't do that one again. Praise God. Yeah. So don't just be wasting. Let your waiting be in faith, knowing that the time is coming when you will never experience this kind of thing again. Hallelujah. You might be trekking to church now. Trust me, enjoy the exercise. A time will come, now you go to find trekking to lose weight. And you know, go see him. Now you go to find trek. Say, I need to do exercise. Hallelujah. When you are waiting, you must be worshiping. That's what makes it different from wasting. Because you are in faith. You are in faith that something has already happened. It's just the manifestation we are waiting for. You cannot worship and worry at the same time. Hallelujah. So as the year is coming to a close, those people that know that they are in faith, you must learn to worship. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Don't repray the prayer again, all over again. These remaining days of the year is just to wait for a manifestation. It's for the harvest has already started, just for you to get to your turn. So don't panic. Hallelujah. Don't panic again. Just wait in faith. They say Abraham was fully persuaded. He did not stagger in faith. Say he gave glory to God. He had not seen the child physically, but he had seen the child spiritually. He knew it was a done deal. Hallelujah. Is there somebody that believes here today? Hallelujah. Can you rise to your feet? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Can we just lift our hand in worship? Choir, can we just lift our hand in worship? And just look. Don't go and pray again and again. No, this remaining 2 months, you are just waiting for that alert. You are waiting for that email. You're just waiting for it. It's going to happen. It's already in the air. It's already on its way to you. Hallelujah. It's already on its way to you. Just worship while you wait. That's the best way to while away the time. Worship. Focus on the who. Remove your eyes from the what's. Just thank him because you know he's doing it. Yes.
You are my
in your own words. In your own words. In your own words. Hey, in your own words. Just talk to him in your own word. Just talk to him in your own word. I refuse to focus on what I'm waiting for. I refuse to focus on what I'm waiting for. I focus on you, oh God. I focus on you, oh God. You are a faithful 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 God. Mambro de Bahas. So prade ke de de de. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Please just bow your heads. Bow your heads wherever you are. If you're in this service this evening.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center. Home. A victorious people.